have to wonder, Terry, when you were hauling around and arranging those ancient boulders on the farm back in the 80s, did you think it was going to be turning into such a top destination for poetry lovers and be going more than 30 years later?
You know, I didn't know quite what I was doing. I had the ability to build it because I married at an orchard farm, farming family, and they had the tractors that I could use, and the boulders were on old fence lines. And I've always been attracted to ritual of focus, and so I could do it, so I built it. My father-in-law always joked that I stole $50,000 worth of boulders from him, but I don't know if you can put a monetary value on something that's 3.5 billion years old or so.
That's amazing. Take us to a night at Stone Circle, Terry. Give us an idea of what it's like to be there and what happens.
You know, every night is different. It's hard to explain. You know, I go down there about 7:30, and just kind of wait to see anyone who's coming that night or anybody's going to come, and the cars just start coming in around 8:30. And you get anywhere from, you know, 20 to 120. And I usually don't know which performers are coming. Sometimes a few people will call me ahead of time. And as it gets dark, the darkness and the fire, they're two of the characters of Stone Circle. There's something in our DNA that you cannot sit around a fire and not want to hear stories. And then when you have these old boulders in these three concentric rings, it's a real powerful setting. I didn't know how long it was going to go, but it seems to have a life of its own now. It's like having a living work of art in your backyard.
And Stone Circle, really, this whole experience is very key in your quest to make poetry something accessible, something that touches many people and not just a chosen few.
Yeah, I just wanted to create a forum where the words were the focus, the center. So many times you go to a restaurant or maybe an open mic night, and somebody will be performing their heart out, and a lot of people aren't listening. They have their own conversation going, and that always bothered me. So I wanted to create this atmosphere where the words were the focus. And with poetry, poetry's intensified communication, and when you put it in the setting of the Stone Circle, the fire in the middle, you have an excellent recipe for communication.
You discovered your ability to write, and poetry started speaking to you at a young age, and you credit a special teacher named Sonia Titus for helping you discover that gift. Tell us a little about that.
Sonia was a maverick. And the way she taught, you probably couldn't teach that way these days because the standardized test, you know, mania. But she had a beautiful way of enunciating her words, and she made us keep a journal, which isn't anything new, but she made us write our own thoughts. And leading up to that, I had a lot of special insights in my life, but I didn't really know what to do with them. After one marking period of getting all incompletes because they weren't my own thoughts, I tried harder. And like I say in the introduction to the book, a door opened up and it never really closed.
And it's been going ever since, as we see in this book, The Stone Circle Poems. Well, I want people to get a sample. And I'm wondering if you will read for us a great poem. I really enjoyed it. It's called Fame. And you say it was very much inspired by a time when you were recognized as a poet at a gas station. Would you share Fame with us?
I always tell people this is what it's like to be a famous poet at a gas station. So it goes. Drove into the gas station in a mini white poetry truck and steered around two burly guys smoking and talking cigarettes and blocking the drive with their tough 4x4 trucks. I didn't like the way they were dominating the place. My mood simmered like the gas fumes. Filled up and went inside to pay. "How's the poetry business?" the girl behind the cash register asked me. "Good," I answered. "Those idiots out front don't blow me up smoking cigarettes." The girl went outside and made the men put their ciggies out. I felt like a tattletale. "Hey, get a job," the biggest guy yelled at me as I hurried up past the pumps of my pickup. I was mildly flattered and intimidated at the same time. They recognized me, too. "I got one," I shouted back, safe inside my cab. "No, you don't," he shot back. This is the critical moment, but couldn't think of anything special to say. Didn't have much to bounce off from. Wish I'd taken debate in high school. I could have put him down. But there's no sense in getting beat up. So just sneered over my shoulder and drove away to write a poem. It'll last longer than a black eye or bruises.
That's Michigan poet Terry Wooten reading from his new book, The Stone Circle Poems, that poem called Fame. What do you see, Terry, as the calling or the mission, if you will, of a poet?
Well, I imagine every poet maybe has a different mission. I wanted to take people, poetry to the everyday people. The academic setting didn't work for me at a real early age. I'm self-taught. And, you know, my early years, I wrote a lot about my own experiences. But in 1983, 84, I met a man, Glenn Ruggles, who was legendary in the oral tradition, collecting people's stories. And with Glenn's influence, I became real sensitive to the conversations around me. And so Glenn Ruggles, in a way, changed my muse at about, you know, when I was 32 or so. That's pretty much been my vision of a poet since my early 30s, is somebody who's a part of the community and collects the community's stories.
And shares them. You do spend a lot of your time bringing poetry to students in the classroom, and I'm wondering if you're thinking of those influential teachers like Sonia Titus, and you also write about a teacher named Imogene McCrimmon. And I'm wondering, with today's educators, as you referenced, having to teach to tests, and with the big emphasis on STEM classes, are you worrying that poetry and language will suffer with for kids in classrooms in Michigan?
Well, my poetry in the classrooms has suffered a little bit. My work has gone down about a third or so. Teachers don't have time anymore. That's the ongoing thing. You'll be talking to a media educator, and she said, I'll have to talk to my teachers to see if they have time. And when I started, you know, working in schools and universities, festivals and conferences 32 years ago, writing was across the curriculum. Everybody's having young author celebrations, and there aren't very many of those left.
I want you to share, if you will, ask you to share another one of your poems. I was very touched because I'm the mother of a lovely young woman. I'm wondering if you'll share a poem that you wrote for your daughter called For Blaze.
Yeah, I did that at her baccalaureate and totally embarrassed her.
Oh, I bet you did. We live to embarrass our kids. Come on, Terry.
Well, I've lived very well then. It says, our 18-year-old daughter wants to know if she's inspired me lately. Yes, I answer, every time you drive in the driveway safe late at night. That's not what she wants to hear. I mean, have you written any new poems about me? She drives a hard bargain, doesn't like how exaggerated to write things she didn't say. She's the same age your mother was when I met her, and that's puzzling. How did you meet Mom? At a dance club. What was your pickup line? Do you want to dance a whole next set? How can I tell her she's part of the music and we're still dancing?
Oh, that is lovely. It just hits that last line, still dancing. Terry, how long do you plan to keep holding evenings at the Stone Circle?
I'm still pretty healthy. I do a lot of, you know, just keeping our property up and the Stone Circle up keeps me in pretty good shape. I'm not bored yet. I'm not burned out. I don't know, as long as I can go. I don't think there's going to be any way I can retire, not that I really want to.
You're just doing like what comes naturally, like breathing.
Yes, for an artist, I think. My daughter asked me a few years ago, what was my pension plan, a retirement plan? I said, dying.
You can check out the schedule for the upcoming 32nd season at the Stone Circle and other readings and appearances Terry Wooten will be making around Michigan. Go to his website, which is terry-wooten.com, W-O-O-T-E-N. If you will leave us with one more, these are like salted snacks, Terry. You just can't stop. Would you leave us with your poem and take us back just a few decades? First Kiss at the Sun Theater.
I always tell the kids when I do that to just imagine me an eighth grade boy, really handsome, and they think that's hilarious. I think I was born bald-headed and wrinkly. It's a true story. We'd been going steady for 2 weeks and still hadn't kissed. I wasn't bored with her or the movie. I was just yawning. Stretched my eighth grade arms like lovebird wings. My left one settled back down gently around her shoulders. She quivered, but didn't pull away. An hour later, my arm was numb and the movie was almost over. A pounding heart urged me on. "Do you mind if I do something?" I whispered tenderly. "What?" she asked. "Kiss you," I sighed and made my move. Now I couldn't come like a goldfish, my eyes wide open, so closed my eyes, leaned towards her. Clink. My front teeth hit something. A piece of tooth broke off, slid over my lip, and tumbled like stunted popcorn to the dark floor. My eyes jarred agape, saw her glass Coke bottle raised between us. "It wouldn't be right," she said. Wounded, I didn't argue. The rest of the movie was a blur. After the end, I walked out of the theater to her dad's car and watched her chauffeured away. I felt like my piece of tooth on the littered floor.
Young Love is seen by poet Terry Wooten. It's a great poem, First Kiss at the Sun Theater. So many wonderful poems in this new collection of Terry Wooten's The Stone Circle poems. Good luck with the 32nd season at Stone Circle and with this new collection, The Stone Circle poems. Thanks for talking with us today, Terry.
Well, thank you. I hope you can make it up sometime with us.